I'm Valerie Jean. I do the Sunday classical music show here at WUSB once a month from 12:30 to 2:30. I like to play music by the lesser-known composers, or sometimes lesser-known works by the better-known composers. Sometimes listeners call me up with suggestions and feedback, and that's always welcome. Many of my shows have themes, perhaps composers from a specific country, or perhaps music that was written for a specific instrument. And sometimes my shows are just about having fun, like maybe a show on PDQ Bach music. I try to make it informative as possible, and I try to put all the music in a context.
That's Valerie Jean, every fourth week, alternating with me, Bob Longman, 3 weeks out of four, Sunday, 12:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon on WUSB Stony Brook.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. That's 90.1 FM, 90.1 megahertz on your FM dial, and you can reach us WUSB.FM on the internet, stream us live, or go through the archives. 6 o'clock on the dot, time on this Tuesday night, once again for Off the Wall. Thanks for listening. and a very good evening. This is Off the Wall. I'm your guest engineer, Kyle. Tonight I'm joined by your host, Emmanuel.
Hello.
Good to see you. Good. Glad you're here.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Beautiful weather out. Lovely midsummer here.
I don't care for it. I prefer nice, stormy, chilly weather, to be honest.
Chilly?
Yeah. Mm. It's a bit too warm, a bit too muggy, a bit too, quote-unquote, nice, which I don't find nice at all. But I don't want to discuss the weather. It's so boring.
No, you mustn't.
Yeah. But here we are on this Tuesday evening, very early in the evening.
It's quite early in the evening, and our normal time...
I don't think you're loud enough. I'm trying to give you hand signals, but they're not taking.
No, it's actually, I think, the monitor for my mic isn't working.
We have a choice. We can either listen to
static.
Which is our air signal, or we can listen to the program, which is too low, and we don't know if we're on the air.
And like so. Many of our listeners listening along, they're here for the program, not the details of how the station works. Oh, wait, I'm back.
But you disappeared that time, didn't you? I'm disappearing,
I'm back
too.
Now you're disappearing.
I see the meters moving, so I think we're... Yeah, it's, like I say, third world radio.
Is that better? Oh, wait, I think we're both here. So now, of course, you'd be motivated to say, am I going to the transmitter? But we have faith here. This is WUSB, this is community radio.
We should go to the transmitter and just do the damn show from the transmitter. Yeah, just whack it with a mallet. That's what I do. It's the only way to get that thing
okay,
to work.
Okay, you're back. Can I come back, please? Oh, hey, just stay like that.
We need to videotape this show just so people know what we have to go through.
Hello.
Think we don't need a 15-minute intro, but the reason we have a 15-minute intro is that's how long it takes for us to get things to work.
Like to see if the
we
gear
We want
works.
To take phone calls, and we hook delay up, and that is a marathon in itself just to hook up.
Okay.
But then when we hook it up, it doesn't work, so then we have to bypass the old hookup to make the new hookup work, and...
You did a fantastic job of that. Here we are.
Don't speak too soon. And as soon as I said that, without us being anywhere near anything, it just completely fritzed out. But the folks over the air, I don't think they hear this. I don't think they hear what we're hearing.
Check.
We should put out two versions of the show, what they hear and what we hear. Because what we hear, imagine every other word being cut out and trying to maintain your train of thought that way.
Maybe if I just hold it the whole time, just ever so carefully.
We need people who know how to fix things and know how to make things out of nothing, because that's what we are struggling with.
Should I call? Who do I call? Customer service?
Let's do that. Call customer service. Say we want our money back.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, listen.
I'll host quietly. You just go right ahead with the program, because as we said, this is a program, and most of our listeners are here for a program.
All right. I'm going to have to ask that you just not touch that, because... What you're doing, every time you even breathe on it, it's causing massive static and real problems.
All right.
You know what? Go back to the static. The static on there. Yeah, that's
this is where we normally live.
It sounds like garbage, but you know what? Maybe that's what people are hearing anyway. So
again, the program. Sorry, everyone. Here we go. This is Off the Wall, and you had a bunch of stuff that you wanted to share.
Well,
the weather. No.
Not this.
We're talking about issues. There's tons going on.
I'm not sure where to begin. We should probably begin with something, an anecdote of sorts, something that might have happened to one of us or both of us over the last week or so.
An anecdote? Just like in our everyday life?
Yeah,
like,
okay, go ahead. You got one.
An anecdote from everyday life.
Uh-huh. No, I'm just going through all of my various notes here to see if there's anything worthy of beginning. You know, all these are good stories, but none of them are good stories to begin with. That's the problem. Okay, here's a good story to begin with. It's a feel-good story, folks. Forgive me. But you know, here at Stony Brook, we have a hospital. It's a hospital for the mentally ill, people who used to work in radio that lose it, and Well, it's a short trip across the road. But they do, they dabble in some other things over there too. And they draw people in from all over the county. And we hear stories about what happens to them in there. But today, we're breaking with that and we're hearing a good story. We're hearing, they are going to be so angry. No, actually, it's, I go there all the time. Well, I don't go there all the time, but I go there when I have to go someplace for health-related reasons. I try to go there.
No.
Unless I can't make it there, and then I go somewhere else. But it's funny, because one time I couldn't make it there, I went to a different place, and I got billed by Stony Brook somehow, even though I didn't go to Stony Brook.
Congratulations.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that is something.
I guess we could talk about health care and all that, you know, the challenges of health care and paying bills and
what
things
Stony Brook
like that.
Doing, please?
Okay, yeah.
They're building I believe, a spaceport.
Well, they're building a mystery tower next to the hospital. Nobody knows what that is. It's just this big building. And if you try to go near it, guaranteed, folks, if you go there with, you know, the mountaineering equipment, the pickaxe and the ropes and all that,
yeah,
security will stop you. Why? Why are they so intent on you not climbing that building? Yeah, ask yourself that.
Yes.
Alex Jones is on this. No, in Stony Brook, they had their 100,000th delivery. They're neck and neck with Domino's. They literally have been keeping count of how many deliveries that they have had, and 100 grand. They basically have been delivering kids. Oh, I don't know when the first. I'd like to know who the first kid was. Oh, okay. I didn't have to look far to find out. The first delivery at Stony Brook was in May 1980. And that's all they're going to say. Okay. Oh, no, here we go. Stony Brook invited the first baby born at the hospital in 1980, Jeffrey Solomon. Jeffrey Solomon is a resort cook who lives in Florida. You see, it doesn't always work out, you know. Sometimes, well, okay.
Study hard, okay? That's, I think, what we take away.
Actually, no, Jeffrey, if you're listening, because he did come up, actually, from Florida to be a part of the ceremony. He came up with his dad, Bob, and his stepmother, Hope. His mom, Deborah, is deceased. My sympathies for that. And Jeffrey said he hopes to meet the 100,000th kid if the parents don't think that's too creepy. The newborn kid is...
Oh, wait, he actually qualified that?
No, I qualified. Oh, okay. I'm adding my qualifications all over the place.
All right.
Kyle, you get to guess what sex the new kid is, and then once you get that correct, you get to guess what the name of the new kid is. So go ahead. You have 10 seconds.
Is copious.
Okay, we're going with the traditional M/F, and we can have
copious is
further
gender
conversations.
Identity.
All right, you know, we could spend hours talking about gender identity, but in this particular case, I can tell you it's one of the standard, you know, that go back for a few centuries.
All right, I'm going to say female.
Well, you're wrong already. Wow.
Okay, all right.
How does that feel? Okay, so now you want to guess again, or you want me to just tell you what the answer is?
What, are we doing names?
There's no time
for
this. That's male. Okay, male is the answer to the question. Now you get to guess the name. I hope you do better on this than you did on the first one.
It is...
the way your mouth is shaped is wrong, so don't say anything beginning with that letter.
Gene.
Who names their kid Gene in the 21st century?
I'm sorry. Eugene.
No, even that doesn't work.
Okay.
West of the Mississippi, it still works, but no, not...
It's like Brad.
Okay, I don't know what kind of name Brad is, but no, it's not Brad.
Okay.
Brad.
No, well, let's see. Raul?
Oh, that's a good name. I'll give you that. That's a good all-purpose name. Never gets old, but no.
Dawson?
Oh, boy. Okay, this is clearly not going well. His name is Luca.
Luca
Piccarella.
With a K or a C?
With a C.
Okay.
With a C.
All right.
He was 8 pounds, 9 ounces.
All 8 pounds.
8:09 a.m. Actually, it doesn't say what day. I assume that was today. Anyway, the hospital is planning a celebration. This Newsday story is kind of funny because they say it's a celebration for the Luca's dad, the Luca. I think that's a typo, misprint, because nobody proofreads anymore. Luca's dad and mom.
Let alone writes.
His sister, the family dog, whose name is Sydney Marie, and Gianna, his sister's fish, hermit crab, and turtle.
Oh, for God's sake.
But they brought the whole damn house with them?
I'm sorry. It's arbitrary to a dog. It's good to introduce family members and so on. If they're going to be in proximity, let them know who's who and what's what. But for crying out tears, I mean, do they have to be a part of the actual ceremony?
Well, the dad is Mike Picarella of Rocky Point. That's nearby. He could be listening right now. And, Mike, I'm sorry if we've said anything that either ridicules names or the fact that you bring hermit crabs to hospitals or anything like that. Or maybe they bring, okay, I could be wrong about this. They could bring the party to their house. That might make more sense. And then the hermit crab obviously is already there.
And is a part of it. Okay, yeah. That makes more
Why
sense.
Keep,
but
keep a hermit crab no. in your house? All right, well, whatever. To each their own. Anyway, Mike says that when a nurse manager approached him in the hallway to talk to him about his baby, who was born via scheduled cesarean section, on Monday morning, yesterday, he got nervous for a second, thinking something was wrong. Medically. Instead, the nurse said, "Congratulations, your child is the 100,000th delivery." At first, I laughed. I thought it was a gag. He works for New York City Transit, by the way, which is pretty cool. But he was shocked at the time. Okay, so that's the big news around here. 100,000th newborn, just born yesterday. I wonder who 999 was. Well, no, 9,000. Wait, 99,999. I wonder who. That was. I also think we should know who 1,000 was and who 10,000 was and who 2,600 was.
Yeah. So if you're any of those milestones over at Stony Brook, I don't know if they keep like a number on the birth certificates, if it's in chronological order in some way, but please write otw@2600.com and we'll read about your numerologically related birth, and it's great that it goes right along with this story. So, what else is going on? What do you have there? That's great, though. I mean, good job, Stony Brook, at midwifery. You know, helping new creatures exist.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at this text I just got.
You're on the phone.
No, not on the phone. Well, this is important. The button, Kyle, you forgot to hit the button.
Oh.
The Trump machine that we had last
week.
They
moved it.
It's been going the whole time since last week.
It's in a new spot. I don't know if it got...
While you're getting it out from under all the rubbish, let me just explain to people quickly. We are required... Now it is a requirement. Last week it was voluntary. Now it's... You might have read about FCC requires that you say the word Trump a certain number of times. And it was, I think, once a minute last week. But since then, everybody's talking about it so much more, and the story is just... It's gone up exponentially, so it's much more than what it is, and we've been woefully negligent. Is that it? It's a chorus now, isn't it?
I'm sorry, E, I can't hear you over the machine. It's gotten a little loud.
So now we have what sounds like a room full of robotic Trump machines. And they're saying it a lot more than once a minute.
Can
we get somebody to at least... lower it a little bit, lower the volume.
I get what they're saying.
No, there's a lot of them, and it seems like it's multiplying.
Okay.
All right, look.
Yeah.
Can you just pull that cord? Just pull the cord temporarily. Kyle, can you see me? Kyle, over here, just pull the cord. For God's sake, pull the cord. Were you not able to hear me? You had this, like, dazed look on your face. Are you all right?
I was asking you what story to read next.
I couldn't hear you either, for that matter. But, all right. Let Bob do his work. He's trying to turn it down a little bit.
Thank you. Hopefully that'll get going.
Give it a minute.
I'm interested to see what the new...
if it keeps going like
machine,
this...
What? Oh.
If it keeps going like this...
It's gotten worse?
There's no room for us anymore here, or really anywhere.
Yeah, it's... Hard to concentrate.
Right? I mean, it's everywhere. Every newspaper, every TV station, every person. Downstairs just now in the Union. What did we overhear? People talking about Trump. About Trump on the radio, everywhere. other stations.
Just have a little bit of time from here and there to have some food and water and in between breaths.
All right, he's got to turn down a little bit. You want to plug it back in? We're going to need it a little more than that. Yeah, just keep trying. Keep trying. Now, keep trying. That's better. I don't want to appear critical, but I got to say I don't like this very much. I don't like where this is going, but I do have to read a story about Trump. Oh, yeah, we also have to do that, like a lot. Finn's doing a Trump special after us, you know that?
Yeah, that's...
The music of Donald Trump.
It was, you know, Donald's revolution, I think, is what he changed it to.
How that's going to sound. Donald Trump singing songs, and it's... I got to get out of here quickly.
Yeah.
Basically, Trump has added names to his list. He has a list, a bad list.
His names?
Well, no.
His hatred list. Oh, boy. Oh,
this,
boy.
This story comes from E! Online, which I've never read from before, but today I think it's appropriate. It's a full-time job keeping track of everything that Donald Trump has deemed inferior and everyone that he's deemed a loser. See, I don't want those Trump creatures to deem me inferior. Listen to them. They are powerful. They are powerful creatures, whatever they are. And there's a lot of them, and there's more every week. The aspiring politician hates so many people and things that we're not even sure how he remembers it all. But just for fun, here's a quick refresher on the latest. And I don't even know half these people. Heidi Klum, Megyn Kelly, Fox News, Rosie O'Donnell, Mexico, Mexican people, all foreigners, really. Breastfeeding women, Obamacare, John McCain, prisoners of war. Wait, he hates prisoners of war? When did that happen?
Hold on. So most of those people are women. Except for John McCain, Obama, half of the
Obama,
Mexicans.
Obamacare.
Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's not a woman, but it's not really feminine. It's not.
But yeah, a lot of them are women.
Okay, but a lot of the things on there are women. But I just want to point that out. Go on.
Well, the latest subject of his disdain, you'll be happy to know, is not a woman, but it's a bit puzzling.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I'm transfixed as well. Maybe, Kyle, you'd like to try and guess what the latest. Just give a guess. It might give him an idea, too. We know he listens. That's okay. Kind of freaky, too.
All right, all right, all right.
I can't
right.
say how we know he listens, but we do
latest,
know he listens.
The latest person to go on the list. Is Hillary on there?
Not as such, but she probably is. But she's not the new one. And it's not something as obvious as that.
I'm closing my eyes. I'm massaging my temples. I'm looking deeply into the abyss.
And yet you can't unhear these voices, can you?
It's
You get one guess.
Fiorina, Carly Fiorina. We already said her.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, after that woefully inadequate guess, that it's not a person, it's a product. There, I'm giving you a hint. It's the only hint I'm going to give you.
Oh, wow.
You almost got it just now. You get one guess, Carl. One guess. And get 5 seconds. And you got to close your mouth.
Oprah?
Oprah is a product, true, but she's also a human being, and I'll thank you very much not to have one eclipse the other.
Is it the pens thing?
Okay, we have a life to lead, so we have to move on.
Please tell me, I'm so eager to know.
It's Oreos.
Oh no, not Oreos.
Oreos. That's right, the delicious and addictive cream-filled cookie. It seems impossible to hate this delicacy, but Trump has found a way. You know what? I'm not in love with Oreos, I'll say it. I'm not. Does that shock you, Kyle?
Oh, gosh.
What, did we sign a contract saying I have to love Oreos? I don't love them. I mean, they're okay. But you tell me, what's the difference between Oreos and Hydrox? Yeah, I said Hydrox. The other Oreo-looking cookie that nobody talks about. What's up with that? They're the exact same thing. There's no difference. White stuff surrounded by chocolate cookies.
It's icing, I believe is the technical term.
Icing. Okay, fine.
Yes.
You know, you can make one of these yourself. It's not that hard. Anyway, yes. During the real estate mogul's stint with jury duty yesterday, you might have heard about that.
Oreos were on trial?
Not quite. But they are now, but they weren't yesterday. He spoke to a group of reporters that surrounded him at the courthouse. It's always fun when you go on jury duty because all the reporters are there to talk to you and ask you why you're there and if you know. Doesn't that happen to everybody when they go on jury duty?
No. That happens to Dear Trump.
Okay. But I feel better then because it didn't happen to me, and I was wondering if it was me. Okay, according to the Daily Beast, he chatted about a wide range of topics, one of which was items he's currently directing his unbridled hatred towards, and he said, "I'm not eating any more Oreos." It's like Bush and broccoli, you know, he's refusing to eat Oreos. I don't know who's trying to get him to eat Oreos, but he's not having.
Is this related to the Black Lives Matter somehow?
No, I don't think so. It's because Mondelez International, which happens to be the parent company of Nabisco, which happens to be the company that owns Oreos, which happens to be what we're talking about right now.
So any InBev beer is
I just got to the comma in the sentence. Let me finish the sentence. I'm just over on top of the hill now. Let me come down.
Excited,
they
though.
Just made the decisions, plural, it's one decision, to move a portion of its Chicago operations to Mexico. There's so many conditions in that right there, you know. They just made, I'm going to say one decision because I think that's proper. They just made a decision to move a portion of their Chicago operations, a small, well, maybe a big part, I don't know, a portion of one part of their facility they are moving to Mexico. And Trump says it's such an American company. He noted that the move would cost Americans 2,000 jobs, but the actual number is 600. We're going to just let that go because it doesn't really matter. But if you're a real patriot, according to this news story, switch to Chips Ahoy, do it for America. They're probably made in Pakistan or something anyway. It's kind of crazy.
Or graham crackers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, no. Graham crackers are Nabisco, too.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Wait, Chips Ahoy? I thought they were Keebler Elves.
If you want to look all this up. But we're running out of time, and we have to move on. I my God, Kyle, what did you just do? Kyle, you just unplugged. You really, not just the cord, but you unplugged the power to the Trump machine. What's gotten into you, man? What?
You said moving along. I thought we were...
Oh, my God. I don't know what's going to happen now. What if... You've just messed with powers that we can't even conceive of.
Should I unplug the phone system?
I mean, you know that time when Cool Hand Luke was having the thunderstorm, you know, and it was pouring down rain on him, and he was like... screaming up to God to strike him down right then at the moment, and George Kennedy was like, "Oh man, I can't believe you're doing that," you know, and everybody was like all freaking out in the prison, and you know, this Cool Hand Luke guy is like challenging God. What you've done trumps that. Oh my God, I can't even say the language anymore without his name coming up. But it's even bigger than that is what I'm trying to say, and the name Trump should tell you how big it is. Yes, it is nice and quiet though, isn't it? But
yes.
But wrong. It's so wrong. All right. fine. Well, then if we're not going to talk about Trump, let's talk about Bernie Sanders, the other candidate.
The other candidate.
I got to
say. The other white meat.
I like this campaign so far because nobody knows what to make of it. Everybody is freaking out. I honestly don't like Trump very much.
Okay.
I mean, I like him fine. I like him great. You know, I trust him more than anybody else, but I don't like him as much as other people.
With your massive hotel chains that you trust him with your hotels and your casinos, but not your country.
Yeah. He basically is throwing the establishment on its ear because all the people that are entitled to become president, the Bushes, the Clintons, this guy comes out. Of course, he's a billionaire, so there's entitlement right there, but... He's
nouveau entitled.
Yeah, he's not somebody that's in the political scene. He shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And yet he is.
Right. He's not being polite like rich people should get on, you know?
Something like that.
You know, it should just be, this should be kept in the drawing room of the country club. You know, it shouldn't be airing the upper crust laundry, as it were.
But the thing is, though, he is in the upper crust, and he is in the country club and all that. Yeah. But still, somehow, he is not of this genre. He's not supposed to be doing this, and yet he is. Same thing with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be doing this, and he is. And somehow, he's starting to catch up with Hillary Clinton, which I find to be rather interesting. Now,
it is.
There's this story, which just came out... today, actually. Yesterday, really. Somebody asked about his hair. Yes. Disheveled American socialist, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Disheveled?
Is his hair political news, or is it pantsuit-wearing Uber insider, ex-Senator Hillary Clinton? Both politicians are running for president, seeking the Democratic Party's nomination. The hairstyle of Clinton, who has been First Lady and Secretary of State, has attracted no shortage of coverage over the years. But when a female reporter brought up the subject of Sanders' famously unkempt hair to the candidate, she was shot down by the senator. He said, "I don't mean to be rude here. I'm running for President of the United States on serious issues. Okay, do you have serious questions?" And I say bravo to that. The reporter Anna Marie Cox, who is considered no shrinking violet when it comes to political reporting, handed the issue right back to the crusading senator in a question and answer segment published in the New York Times. "I can defend that as a serious question. There is a gendered reason." Nice try there. Sanders cut her off again. "When the media worries about what Hillary's hair looks like or what my hair looks like, that's a real problem. We have millions of people who are struggling to keep their heads above water, who want to know what candidates can do to improve their lives. And the media will very often spend more time worrying about hair than the fact that we're the only major country on earth that doesn't guarantee health care to all people." And this reporter stuck to her point. "It's also true that the media pays more attention to what female candidates look like than it does to what male candidates look like." I think she's trying to save her ass here, because it was a stupid question. And yeah, that's a serious issue, but come on, asking about hairstyles? You know, this is, regardless of the disparity between sexes, that's not asking a question about that. That's asking a question about something that you hope to be a soundbite, which it turned out to be a story, so I guess a victory. Sanders conceded, yes, that may be, and it's absolutely wrong that that there is more attention paid to what female candidates look like than what male candidates look like. Anyway, that was an interesting story that came out yesterday, which I thought was says a lot about character and says a lot about how things are covered in this country.
Well, yeah, and also just the conversation around gender and political correctness and identity in general, I think, is being challenged a lot, and people want to dredge a lot of different things up. But I could see a politician like Bernie Sanders getting a little impatient with that inquiry, far as things he's concerned about. I mean, clearly, I think his hair says it all.
See, we're doing it too. We're talking about hair, and that's not the issue.
Exactly.
See the guys in there, Kyle? In the conference room, there's two security guards. No, it's too late for that. It's too late for that. That ship has sailed. Okay, they're going to wait till after the show, at least. In the interest of radio. Thank you. But I'm surprised. Let's go back to products. We were talking about products before. Well, actually, you know what? We'll get back to products in a second. Did you see Hillary Clinton met with some Black Lives Matter activists?
No.
Well, she met with them, and the video was released last night by Black Lives Matter activists. And it basically goes on for about 15 minutes or so. They challenged Clinton to answer for criminal justice policies pursued by her husband's administration and for the legacy of white privilege, but Clinton told them to look for ways to change policies rather than trying to change hearts. She listened, at times agreed, with five members of the newly influential group during a tense discussion last week, and she also rejected one questioner's assertion that she is personally or directly responsible for systemic mistreatment of black people. She said, "I'm not sure I agree with you." When one questioner told her that policing and imprisonment policies were imposed even though they were ripping apart families and actually causing death. Clinton's campaign issued a statement Tuesday calling the discussion one of many that the campaign will continue to have with a wide array of stakeholders in order to build on Hillary Clinton's policy proposals to help reform our criminal justice system and achieve racial justice. In the video, Clinton concedes that government policies such as three strikes you're out sentencing laws have had unintended and negative consequences, but some Clinton-era efforts were a response to demands within black communities for more attention to the ravages of drugs and violence. I would kind of challenge that. But, you know, I saw part of the video today, and it's clearly tense. You know, it's clearly tense between between her and these five activists, but they're talking at least. And I think it's worth looking at. There's one point there where she's just nodding her head ridiculously when they're making a 2-minute statement.
She's been doing a lot of that lately, but I understand it's what, like she's on the press tour,
and bobbing her head up and down. She's doing a lot.
Yeah,
of
the Hillary Clinton bobblehead. I mean, it's you know what? It's listening. Mm-hmm. It's listening, and you know, Pete, you want to appear engaged, make eye contact, and have the affirmative, yes, I hear you, but she's got a lot of listening going on.
She wasn't really making eye contact. She was kind of looking down at her shoes, and she was kicking a can that somehow appeared on the floor next to her.
Down the road?
Yeah, well, and just looked kind of a little bashful while they were talking. And then, to her credit, though, when she started talking, she seemed emphatic. She seemed like she was listening to what was actually being said, and she was addressing the issues. And I know people aren't going to be satisfied, and they shouldn't be, but let's be happy that there is a conversation taking place. That's huge. That's huge. The conversation needs to continue. But I think if it's dismissed, if people condemn her for whatever reasons, and I hear people always condemning everybody for silly reasons, then the conversation doesn't continue. And I think it's vital that it does, because that's really the only way progress can be made.
Yeah, and you got to qualify that's a conversation for society to engage.
Absolutely.
And be a part of, not for them, right, as politicians. They're weak. Without the people, the community, the dialogue itself, and I think we have a lot of misplaced expectations if you're just leaning on them as a symbol of an institution and lack of progress. Yes, we know inertia can stall and hurt people's lives, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it should not paralyze us. You know, like, we still are in a system, and I think the way to really affect that is to keep the dialogue going, keep it, and, you know, as we've encouraged and so on. And I think that's what Hillary Clinton was saying, was just participate in what system there is and be thankful for it, but push at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
And this dialogue needs to happen because there is so much ugliness going on. We see it all the time. We've seen it for centuries here. And people like to say that we live in enlightened times now. And many of us have gotten to a state where we're beyond that. We're past that. But it's never very far away. And you don't have to look a very long distance to find people that would fit in very well 100 years ago, 200 years ago, or even 50 years ago.
And so much has changed. I mean, that's why I think it's a little, I mean, you're kind of painting her into a corner, asking her to explain things that happened 10 or 20 years ago to explain that record. I mean, yeah, she ought to speak to it, but we should look at it within context.
Yes.
Always, you know.
Speaking of the ugliness, though, it all comes together into one person named George Zimmerman. Remember him?
Yes.
Trayvon Martin thing?
Hoodies and Skittles or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, this sort of brings together a bunch of things that we were talking about. His acquittal after fatally shooting black teen Trayvon Martin in 2012 sparked the Black Lives Matters movement.
Yes, yes, it did.
thank you for that, George. He is raffling off an original painting of the Confederate flag emblem to raise money for himself and for, you can't make this up, and Andrew Hallinan, who we talked about last month, proclaimed his gun shop a Muslim-free zone after a Muslim man attacked two military sites in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So one Muslim attacks two places, and over a billion people are the enemy all of a sudden. You know, white guys are the ones who shot up theaters. Yeah, that's another thing. This was, I saw this on CNN.
White terrorists.
Yesterday, they were talking about Straight Outta Compton, the movie that came out this weekend.
It did.
And there's an image going around on the net about the showing, saying that there was no violence at the theaters. I cannot think of a more racist news story than that, because it's just assuming that a film about Compton, about rap music, is going to instigate violence. Meanwhile, if you look at where the actual violence comes from, where are the massacres happening in theaters? They're white guys. They're not African Americans. So to make that assumption that that is going to happen, and to emblazon that on CNN and say, wow, we're so surprised that there was no violence. It's they don't even realize how racist that is.
Yeah, it's like, and it's decades old. I mean, come on, that's like history at this point. It's awful. I think that's really a shame on them, because like, I mean, hip hop and that culture is so grown up now, like and real, and it, I actually am not surprised there wasn't. There was no violence. I think that makes perfect sense. People wanted to see the movie because it's about the history. They're not going there to, like, beef with people. And I think bullying and I think a lot of the other concepts, like that history of violence and so on, what that's done is something that hip-hop and music like that is that and the history and stories thereabouts, I think it are hyper aware. Like, they understand the scene because of that violence, and it's interesting that it's coming a lot more from like misunderstandings and like entrenched attitudes within bureaucracies like police departments.
Well, maybe the next showing of Batman, they'll say the same thing. You know,
yeah,
no violence. Wow, what a surprise.
Yeah,
it's these little things, and you know,
it's
I guarantee
framing.
You,
it's framing of the media.
I guarantee you. White people would not have noticed that and would not even consider it a big deal and would say, well, you know what, there's an element of truth in that, all those things. And if you're black, it hits you in a completely different way. You recognize it immediately. You react to it immediately. You see the hypocrisy.
You mean like on the crawl on CNN and stuff?
Yeah, and just the overall reaction. Because that reflects. It reflects how people view things. And they just assume. They assume that you're going to have a film about African Americans that's going to be violence.
Well, it shows a lack of sensitivity, too.
Absolutely.
Cultural and, like, awareness.
So, there's that as well. I said we talk about products again, and yes, we have a product right here. Mr. Softy. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Softy.
Can you bring that up? Yes. There we go. That song is causing all kinds of problems. The Mr. Softy folks are taking a hard line. What they say is trademark infringement. A Queen soft serve vendor is using this very melody. Yeah, DDD, Ice Incorporated, Long Island City. What an awful name. Hey, look, it's a DDD truck. Come on.
It sounds like they sell pest products, like poison.
They're playing the melody on their trucks without permission. A suit asks the trucks to stop the music, and the jingle was copyrighted in 1999. I remember this when I was growing up, so I'm surprised it took them that long to copyright it. 1999, it consists of a musical jingle composed of 16 notes in the key of E-flat in the sequence of, get ready, B, B, C, B, B, G, F, E, B, F, E, B, C, E, B, D, E, B, F, B, B, G, E, B. All right. I think we've given out all the information we possibly can about that. Oh, and it's then repeated. Mr. Softy says has been using the popular melody since 1960. So don't use that melody if you don't want legal trouble. I would not want to be fooled by that, because Mr. Softy has a certain sound to it. In fact, you know, in the city there are all kinds of trucks that look like Mr. Softy trucks, that are not actually Mr. Soft. I've seen Mr. Soft. I've seen Master Softy. I've seen all kinds of other things that that just have different names that are meant to fool you.
Yeah, and you can copyright sounds.
Yes.
So it's their trademark sound. So you wouldn't want to get an off-brand Mr. Softy truck.
No, you certainly wouldn't. And I have to update people on the Europa League, too, because we have a game coming up on Thursday. Yes, we won. Southampton defeated that lowly Dutch team. And again, just to recount, we're following Southampton in the Europa League because Southampton didn't win the FA Cup this year that we were following all of last year, but they got into Europa League because of who did win the FA Cup. And the team we were following lost. But because of the new rules, they don't get into Europa League. So we picked the team that did, and that was Southampton. They defeated the Dutch team, whose name I forget. And you know what? It doesn't matter because they lost. Now we move on to the fourth round, known as the playoff round. And what happens at this point is that a bunch of teams from the Champions League that have already lost get bounced down into the Europa League. And so teams get to play bigger teams, and one of them is Ajax from the Netherlands. I think they're the highest ranked team, and they must have lost really tragically in Champions League to be bounced down this early. But what that means is they have a tremendous advantage, whoever they do wind up playing. So on Thursday, which is the day that the Europa League takes place usually throughout the year, we're moving on. Yes, I'm saying we're moving on to the playoff round, and I'm about to find out who the team is that we play. I'm scrolling down here on this very, very long list here. Okay, and where are we? We are playing this team here called, why don't you say that, Kyle, because I can't pronounce that word.
Midtjylland.
FC Midtjylland. Okay.
Midtjylland.
They are a professional Danish football team from Hemming. Is that what it is? Hemming and Ikast. They're from two places in the western part of Jutland.
Herning.
They were a result of a merger between Ikast FS, which also includes tennis, badminton, and handball clubs. I assume they're not playing.
And Herning Freuden.
They're not playing football, I don't think, the tennis and badminton people. And Herning Fremad FC. All right, whatever. Anyway, so they play in the Danish Superliga.
Superliga.
Yeah, and they finished in first place last year.
Oh, yes.
And apparently that qualifies them for Europa League.
Definitely a team to watch.
Or wait, did they qualify for Europa League that way, or did they bounce down from Champions League? Hang on, there's so much information here, and I have to scroll all the way back up to see who got bounced down.
I am seeing security and stuff for...
Yes, they did get bounced down. They were in Champions League, because they finished in first place. They were in Champions League, but they've lost, and now they're bounced down to Europa League, and now they're playing Southampton. So we have our work cut out for us, although I think we have a better ranking than they do. So Thursday is the first leg, and next Thursday is the second leg, and then they add up the scores, and then we figure out what happens then.
Awesome. That's cool. Yeah. Well, it'll be exciting, and we'll wait for more updates.
Yeah, and there will be more updates, for sure.
Finn's got security and stuff. They need to do a sweep before they bring Trump's people in.
You have another 8 minutes before you have to answer for your crimes. But before that happens, an update on something else. Well, actually, we haven't told anybody about this yet. There's this train that runs once a week here on Long Island, and I've been fascinated with it for a while. Actually, they discontinued it, and they resumed it last year.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Cannonball. We actually have a named train on the island. And what the Cannonball does, it leaves from Penn Station and goes all the way out to Montauk. You don't have to switch at Jamaica or Huntington or any of that, and it doesn't even make a stop until you're in the Hamptons. It's incredible.
Choo-choo.
And it has three bar cars. It only runs on Friday afternoon. Only runs one day a week.
It's powered by drinks, I think.
Apparently it is. It's a thing. And Montauk has been getting all kinds of attention this year because of drunken idiots that are tearing the town apart and causing all kinds of mayhem.
Yeah.
We're not going to take part in that, but we are interested in trains. And so what we're going to do, what we have to do, is basically leave a car in Montauk, take a train all the way into New York City and stay there overnight so that we can take the Cannonball train out to Montauk and find our car and then drive back to Stony Brook.
Yes.
That's really the only way to pull this off. But the advantage of that is that by taking the actual train from Montauk into New York City,
right.
we see how long that ride actually is.
Yeah, so we get to compare the torture.
Yeah, so
it
will be torture, and we might have some sound recordings of that.
Yes, we might.
But interesting, in today's Newsday, there's a story titled Overcrowded Express Train to Montauk Added to Long Island Railroad Meeting with Federal Rail Officials. So the one time, the one week that we decide to do this, all of a sudden this turns into a big issue. I wasn't even sure we were going to be able to get onto this thing. You had to make reservations by emailing a PDF form to this address at the Long Island Railroad. Then you get a reply back saying they received it. Then you get a reply saying, okay, you're confirmed, but you have to bring this email to somebody in Penn Station in order to get your actual pass to the bar car, and you get bar service to your seat and all that. So that's what we have to look forward to this weekend. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be an adventure. It'll be an exciting time, and we will love it. And we will report back and have all kinds of copies of those conversations and whatever kind of muckery we get into.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It'll rival some of the overseas trains we've taken.
Do you want to take phone calls really quick? 631-632.
We can't. It's almost the top of the hour, and we've had so much trouble both with that and with the equipment, and now we've got three security guards.
You don't think I could do it? You don't think I could get into delay?
You're not going to resist, I hope, because they apparently think they need to really bring in more people.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Kyle, just answer some questions. Say it was an accident, your hand slipped or something. You didn't mean to turn the Trump machine off, and that next week we'll be back in force. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Hey, we were talking about all kinds of racial injustice and all that, and this song, I like people to listen to this song because it came out in the early 60s, and it's about something that happened in the 50s to a kid named Emmett Till. You might have heard that name, and if you haven't heard that name, you should read up on it. And listen to the lyrics, listen to what it actually is about, and see how much has changed and how much has not changed, and how this can be applied to current-day situations and attitudes and things like that. And, you know, not putting this on to be too heavy, but we have to be serious about this. We have to pay attention, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm familiar. I know Emmett Till and Matthew Shepard.
They should teach this in school.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think they do.
Aaron Schwartz.
A lot of people like that, yes.
All right. Well, to everybody out there, be well. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Was down in Mississippi not so long ago, when a young boy from Chicago town walked in a southern door. This boy's fateful tragedy you should all remember well. The color of his skin was black, and his name was Emmett Till. Some men, they dragged him to a barn, and there they beat him up. They said they had a reason, but I disremember what. They tortured him and did some things too evil to repeat. There was screaming sounds inside the barn. There was laughing sounds out on the street. Then they rolled his body down a gulf amidst a blood-red rain. And they threw him in the waters wide to cease his screaming pain. The reason that they killed him there, and I'm sure it ain't no lie. He was a black-skinned boy, so he was born to die. and then to stop the United States of yelling for a trial. Two brothers, they confessed that they had killed poor Emmett Till. But on the jury, there were men who helped the brothers commit this awful crime. And so this trial was a mockery, but nobody seemed to mind. I saw the morning papers, but I could not bear to see the smiling brothers walking down the courthouse stairs. For the jury found them innocent, and the brothers, they went free. While Emmett's body still floats the foam of a Jim Crow southern sea. If you can't speak out against this kind of thing, a crime that's so unjust, your eyes are filled with dead man's dirt, your mind is filled with dust. Your arms and legs, they must be in shackles and chains, and your blood, it must cease to flow for you to let this human race fall down so god-awful low. This song is just a reminder to remind your fellow man that this kind of thing still lives today in that ghost rule of the Ku Klux Klan. But if all us folks that thinks alike, if we'd give all we could give, we could make this great land of ours a greater place to live.